I'd like for you to take your Bibles, open them to 1 Peter, and we're going to go to the 5th chapter momentarily. 40 seconds in your mind, snarled the confident Air Force Captain John Boyd to his challengers in the fighter weapons school at Neils Air Force Base, Nevada. Meet me at 30,000 feet. On my tail, I'll reverse and get you in my guns in 40 seconds, or I'll give you $40. This particular man came up with a principle which is used today in business, it's used in legal matters, and it's used in war, and it's called the OODA loop. That's O-O-D-A. The OODA loop. This refers to the decision cycle that all people make of observe, orient, decide, and act. This man, Colonel John Boyd, was a strategist and applied this concept to combat operations, often at the strategic level in military operations. It defines how all humans react to stimulus. All of us, regardless of our situation, observe, orient, decide, and act. Most people walk around life in what's known in military circles, security circles, as condition white, or sometimes condition green, depending on who you're talking to. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we find that this is not the way a Christian should behave. We'll begin reading in verse 8. Be sober, be what? Vigilant. Vigilance requires observation. Most people pay no attention to their surroundings. And I would exhort you to pay attention to your surroundings. Perhaps you've heard the person, man, where did that come from? You hear people talk about that when they're driving their car. I didn't see him until it was too late. And that's true. Today you see people with these digital devices, mobile devices. They're totally oblivious to their surroundings. This is not good. This is especially not good in the dangerous world in which we live. And the dangers that we face are multifaceted. It could be anything from slipping on a sidewalk to getting in a front-end collision to being blindsided at work. There's so many different ways that can overtake us, if we are not observant. So we need to observe, then we can orient, and I'll explain that in a bit, make a decision and act. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, now that puts it on a personal level, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's what he does. He's doing this all the time. And if you've ever watched a cat hunt, they're very stealthy. The object of stealth in a hunt is that the prey does not know it is being predated upon. That at any moment, the predator is going to leap on the prey and it's lights out. And generally, the prey is oblivious. If you're a hunter, you know that you can't alert the game to your presence. Can't be going out there in backcountry wearing cologne and perfume and deodorant and stuff. You got to be downwind. You have to be very quiet, or else you're not even going to see the game. Well, the same thing is true with the adversary. The secret to his success is the secrecy of his moves. Most people don't even think he's there. But we live in a world which is material, and yet it is engulfed in a spiritual warfare. And because of that spiritual warfare, we really do not wrestle against flesh and blood, as God's word God's word tells us. We wrestle against spiritual principalities, powers from on high. And to do that, we must be observant, sober, vigilant. Sobriety doesn't just mean not drunk, but of course, being drunk certainly eliminates a person from any kind of observation, any kind of understanding of their surroundings. Sober and vigilant. Whom, verse 9, resist. We resist the adversary, the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This happens to everybody. Now, we see Christians in other parts of the world going through horrific situations. Why do you suppose that is? Because the adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he can devour, whom he may devour. That's may. That's not, you know, that's a possibility. Can would be definite, but may is a possibility. May seeks permission, doesn't it? And the permission begins with paying no attention to what's going on around you. We are blessed to live in a country that's founded on Christian principle, that our founding fathers in their generation were wise beyond their years, much wiser than our current generation of leaders, that's for certain. And they ensured, via the documents upon which we govern our nation, by consent, that our liberties are preserved. Yet there are always those seeking to put us into tyranny. We must be vigilant. We must be sober. Don't think for one minute that there isn't something underfoot looking to overtake you. But the God of all grace, verse 10, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered, that would be endured, a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It would be folly to think that with an enemy whose only purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, that we could do this on our own. So being observant doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to handle all this on our own. And I don't want you to become paranoid by any stretch of the imagination. Just want you to pay attention. The more quickly you can do this, the more quickly you can go through this cycle that all people go through, this state of awareness, the more quickly you can go from observation to orientation to decision and action, the more you will have a benefit and a leg up on your adversary, whoever that may be, even the devil. Because his greatest threat to us is his secrecy and the snares that he sets. So if you can do this quickly, you will have an edge. Orientation is the repository of our genetic heritage, our cultural tradition, and our previous experiences. And it is the most important part of the OODA loop, which incidentally is the title of today's teaching. I imagine when some people get the CD and they're going to see the title, they're going to go, what? See, titles are important because it attracts a person's attention. This orientation is the most important part of the OODA loop, since it shapes the way you observe, and then the way you decide, and then the way you act. Just talking about our experiences, for example, we were told for many, many generations to mind your own business and don't get involved. I can remember years and years ago in New York City that people just wouldn't get involved no matter what was going on, until that became a big problem. And then some states, I understand, I don't believe New York, but some other states came up with what they call Good Samaritan laws, because people would just not get involved. Somebody could be bleeding to death, laying on the sidewalk, and they wouldn't even stop to call, you know, a the police or 911 or an ambulance or something. Help the person out of the street or something. And so because of that, that's part of our experience. The entanglement of getting involved has a very negative effect on people. And they think, gee, if I get involved here, this is going to eat up a whole month. Who knows how far that'll go. So that's part of your experience. Also, part of your cultural tradition. If your cultural tradition is want to lend a hand, then you'd be more apt to get involved and pay attention to see who needs a hand. Here in the Great White, where we live, the Great Northwest, and we're probably the most northern and western you can get in the United States. What's that?
And Eastern.
And Eastern? How do you figure that? That's true. But if you keep going west, you always go west. You'll never go east. Go west, young man. At any rate, it used to be the code of the north that you help somebody. When we first moved to Fairbanks in 1981, if you got stuck on the road, the first guy that passed would stop. Did you notice that's not the case anymore? I mean, people would get in trouble in the north where it's cold, like in Fairbanks in the winter, and if somebody didn't stop to help them, guess what? They would die, right? And so you would want somebody to stop and help you, right? That's just one aspect of observation. Somebody needs help. But the orientation is what we're looking at. Are you inclined, if you've observed, to do something about it? Is it part of your cultural tradition? Is it part of your genetic heritage? Were you taught? Did your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents, were they the type of people who did this? So all of this is part of what makes us who we are. And combined with our previous experiences and what we've been taught will shape the way we observe and then the way we decide, which then ultimately the way we act. So orientation is very, very important. Very important. And the quicker you can do this, the better off you are. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, that's all kept by the power of God, but your physical life, if you're not paying attention, your well-being, and what you do spiritually, whether or not you get entangled in the wrong things with the wrong people, or not. You know, we're to have no fellowship with unbelievers, are we? We're not to have any union, any communion, any association, no partnership. Doesn't mean we don't witness to them. Of course we do. But if you're not observant to see whether a person is maybe receptive, well, or maybe your orientation is, I don't want to do that, you know. After all, I've had terrible experience with, I don't know, people knocking on my door Christmas Day asking me if I know Jesus. And so things like this tend to be in a person's head and tend to discourage them and make their observation less than the best. So we have to reorient ourselves to God's Word. And remind yourself daily that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that there's automatic armor. Doesn't mean that automatically you are protected. Bad things still happen to good people, Christian people. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, verse 6, for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, if your faith isn't being tried, or you aren't aware that it's being tried, then What are you doing? Where is your orientation if your faith isn't being tried? And it will be on a daily basis. If you're not persecuted some way, shape, or form, maybe you're not doing anything. You know, people think, well, maybe if I fly under the radar, the adversary will leave me alone. Yeah, well, think again. He'll just wait until you're so oblivious, like that lion hiding in the bushes. And boy, have you ever seen any photos of or film of African lions hiding in the veld? You can't even see them. Just those two big eyes watching. Oh, and by the way, maybe some of you have seen that photo of the guy fishing for salmon up here in Alaska. And there's a big old brownie behind him looking at him through the wooded area. You've seen that, haven't you? The bear knew he was there, but he didn't know the bear was there. So we need to pay attention because we don't have automatic protection. And again, this is not to make you paranoid, really. It's just to make you aware, sober, vigilant. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them or upon them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be what? Sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you get an opportunity, read the rest of that passage, the rest of that chapter. Chapter 4 of 1 Peter. See, you need to familiarize yourself, we all do, with your state of awareness. Verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. When you arm yourself, when you think of the phrase arm yourself, it means you are ready to do battle, right? You are ready to defend yourself. You are ready to protect those in your immediate vicinity. You're armed. Well, the word is telling us to arm ourselves with the same mind that Jesus Christ had. Do you think he walked around oblivious to his surroundings? Or do you think that he was so sober and vigilant that nothing, and I do mean nothing, got past him? Right? That's a fair assumption, isn't it? As a matter of fact, you know that's the truth. If we arm ourselves with his mind, we wouldn't walk around oblivious to our surroundings. We would pay attention. Not just to the things that might threaten us, but the things that might threaten our relationship with the Father. Not just that, but maybe the things that other people are experiencing. There's so much to being observant. And then you orient yourself to decide whether or not action is required. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wow, well, we all did that. It says so in Ephesians and other places. Do you think we were observant and vigilant at that time? No, of course not. You can't be vigilant doing all that. All that jazz, right? Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick, the alive and the dead, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch onto prayer. And then there's some more verses that are pertinent, but for the sake of our time constraints, I'll let you read those at your leisure as well. We are to be sober and watch. When you're watchful, you're paying attention. Watch me. Watch me now. You know, it's like, I'm sure maybe you saw the cartoon, maybe you didn't. Squirrel! Now you're distracted, right? They call that today, I understand they call that squirrel politics, where these politicians and the media come up with something to distract from what's going on. A watchful person will not be distracted. It just won't happen. My little dog Ray, baby Ray, loved to hunt and kill little varmints. And she would stay still as a mouse for as long as is necessary until she would pounce. Sonny Boy, on the other hand, when he saw what she was doing, would just jump in there and destroy the whole process. Because once you do that, the little critter, you know, they're hard to get anyway. She'd get them all the time because she was patient. Just like years ago, had a Doberman Pinscher. I have these dog stories, right? We lived on Long Island. I had a house out on the island. It was a ranch house. Had a pretty big backyard, and I would let the Dobie run out there. And he dug holes all over the place. Remember, Sue? Deep holes. Never could understand why on earth that. I mean, I tried every night, I'd shoot him in the butt with a BB gun. He'd jump up, look around, and go right back to digging. And so I just couldn't stop him from digging. And then I brought my bulldog, Rosie, home. And she was plotty and slow and super overweight and grumpy to other dogs. And she was out there in the backyard, and she wasn't out there I don't know how long, just no time at all. And guess what she killed? A mole. She waited by the hole until the mole showed up, patiently dragged his butt out of the hole and put an end to him. The Doberman was impatient, and every time he would dig, that mole would move somewhere else because, you know, they live underground. So, consequence, he never got the mole, and I got a bunch of divots and holes in my backyard. Little fat Rosie, I mean, she couldn't catch a cold. She was so fat and slow. She just was patient. She waited. And there's, I couldn't believe it, but there it was, mole. Do you remember that, Linus?
I watched to do it.
You watched to do it. Well, when you're watchful, things don't get by you, do they? If you're anxious and you're overexcited and you're not paying attention and you're oblivious, a lot of stuff gets by you. So familiarize yourself with, number one, your state of awareness. Ask yourself, am I walking around oblivious to my surroundings today? Wake up, pay attention, right? You don't want to be one of those persons, where'd that car come from, right? You know, Colonel Jeff Cooper, and he was one of my favorite military guys, big firearm enthusiast, a lot of famous things. He's the guy who invented the idea for the scout rifle, Sean. He's the man who thought up that one. He said, and this is so true, most people stumble through life blissfully unaware of the world around them. They remain preoccupied with thoughts of work, personal problems, how to get a date, or other trivialities with no thought to their immediate environment. By not paying attention to their surroundings, they place themselves in needless jeopardy. It's true. I mean, it may not happen, and God willing, with God's mercy, these things won't happen to us. But if you're paying attention, the odds of your being taken unawares are much, much, much slimmer. In fact, the OODA loop provides feedback. When you observe, orient yourself to what you've seen, that means decide what's going on and what you're going to do about it, act if required, decide and act if required, you get feedback which comes right back to your observation. And if you're good enough at it and you do it quick enough, you get inside your opponent's OODA loop. That's how good fighters in the combat arena, that's how they win. When the other fighter has no idea he was going to throw that kick or take him down or throw that punch or feint, that's what a feint's about. If you've ever watched boxing or any kind of martial art, a feint is when You act as though you're going to throw a punch, instead you throw a kick. Or you act as though you're going to throw a right, instead you throw a left. So that your opponent doesn't know. So by the time your opponent observes, gets oriented, makes a decision and acts, you're already inside his OODA loop. We can get inside our opponent's OODA loop, whether it be the world, the job place, whether it be whatever situation we face, driving. You can get inside the OODA loop of the knucklehead who's trying to cut you off by simply observation, orienting yourself, making a decision, and acting. Not like that, Sean. Here are the conditions in color code that Colonel Jeff Cooper suggested. Condition white, which means unaware, unalert, oblivious. In other words, I never saw that coming. Condition yellow, which is a relaxed state of general alertness. No specific focal point, just paying attention. Heads up, eyes open. What's out of the ordinary? What's unusual? What's out of place? What's out of context? That's what you got to ask yourself. That's called condition yellow. You're not shook up. You're not paying attention to any one particular thing. But your head's up, your eyes open. You're just seeing what's going on. You know, certain animals, like a deer, for instance, like on the East Coast, we used to hunt whitetail. They don't look up. So you know where the best place to hunt them from? A tree stand. Because you'd be in a tree stand. If you're quiet, they never know you're there. That's true for a lot of animals. People told me that was true of dogs, but they never met Boaz. He looked up all the time. You know, some people never do. A lot of people want to spiritualize that and say because they're afraid to look up to God. But if you watch most people, truthfully, where they're looking down at their feet, right? Walking along right at their feet. Am I right? Watch, pay attention, and you see if that isn't true. Today, of course, they don't get to see their feet because they're holding a smartphone or a tablet, right? And driving that way, sitting at the light, looking down like this. You know, I don't pass through any intersection, even if I've got the green light, at highway speed. I pay attention to make sure there's nobody coming. Do you know how many people just go right through there assuming that simply because they have the green light, everything's cool? Really? What about the guy that goes through the red light at, you know, 60 miles an hour? Next thing you know, you're T-boned. I never saw that coming. Condition yellow. Now, condition orange is a heightened state of awareness with a specific focal point. You assess the situation. That doesn't look right. That's not normal. Something's out of the ordinary here. You pay attention to that. And then, of course, condition red, you're prepared mentally to fight or flight, they call it. That's condition red. So if you get to yellow in life, if you can walk around in condition yellow in life, you've made a huge stride in your personal state of awareness to where now the OODA loop and your ability to cycle through it quickly is second nature to you, instead of walking around in condition green or white, whichever you prefer to call it, oblivious to your surroundings. So strive for condition yellow, which means relaxed state of general alertness. Head up, eyes open, always paying attention to what's going on. Luke 21, please. This should not be a foreign concept to us believers. You can apply it to anything. I just found the things that Colonel Boyd and Colonel Cooper came up with to be very interesting and very practical. Because military men have strategies that they lead their lives by, principles. They have an ethos. We as Christians have an ethos. The question is, do we apply it in our lives or do we not? In Luke 21, and if you skip down to the 29th verse, he spake to them a parable, Jesus did. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. And he was talking about on the heels of having just told them about some future events, which again you can read at your leisure. He spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh now at hand. So, likewise, when you see these things, which he spoke of, come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and so that day comes on you, how? Unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. What a tremendous amount of guidance that is. People worry and fret and use the term apocalypse seems to have become common usage in today's vernacular, even without the understanding of what it really means. To most people today, it means terror, horror, and the end of things. We know it means a revealing. The veil is lifted, the veil is taken away, and now we can see clearly. And specifically, the revelation of Jesus Christ is what we all look forward to, because when he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we shall see him as he is, and every eye shall see him. And so that's wonderful. But there are some things that are going to happen in this tired old planet, which, if you ain't noticed, been happening for generations and generations. This is not a good place, this old planet of ours. It's been getting tired. It's been getting worn. And these negative things that happen, be they what they call natural events, you know, weather or so forth, or whether they be occurrences that men produce, negative events, wars, holocausts, murders, all these different things. If you notice, the insanity of the world is getting worse all the time. The frequency and intensity of the negative things that happen in this planet of ours getting worse all the time. So pay attention. Pay attention. And line these things up with what you know that God would have you to do in life. So you observe, orient yourself with his word. What does his word say in this particular situation? Then make the decision to act upon his word if action is required. And you will be in a godly OODA loop. You'll be right back to observation. Pay attention to what's going on. Orient yourself with the Word of God. Then decide to do the Word of God if doing is required, and act. Romans 13, please. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, not in the day, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Honestly, the margin renders that as decently. Not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. 1 Thessalonians 5. You know, the world is asleep. Don't you be asleep. Wake up. Be awake. All of us tend to get drowsy at times, whether it's actual physical drowsy or whether it's spiritual drowsy. Either way, if you're out and about, that's not good. Spiritual drowsy is, of course, not good at all. 1 Thessalonians 5, the times and the seasons, verse 1. You have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That means it's unannounced. A thief comes, it's a surprise to everybody, right? For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail, that would be labor upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Once labor pains begin, that's pretty much it. Once you enter into that phase of labor, there's no way out of that. And I don't think, even today, they really know what is it that triggers that the first time. Well, they can trigger it with Pitocin and things like that. But they don't know what it is in the human body that makes that termination. I don't think. Maybe they've made enough strides to figure that out, but when it happens, it happens. You know, it's like that pot of water. You can watch it till you're blue in the face, but it's going to boil when it's ready, right? And if you're not paying attention to that pot of water on the stove and it boils, what happens next, ladies? Boils over, right? But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night, oblivious to their surroundings. The greatest of all being the return of Jesus Christ. And all that that means to us, all that we know, the word promises us, if we are vigilant in our lives regarding pleasing our Lord and being rewarded for it throughout eternity. Why walk through life oblivious to these things when they're so readily accessible to us? Not to mention the physical harm that you can endure if you're not paying attention, but so much more you will lose if you're not spiritually alert. But let us who are of the day, verse 8, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now that's not talking about being sleepy and unobservant while you're physically alive. That's talking about it, should you have fallen asleep prior to his return. So when he returns, we know some of us will be alive and some of us will have fallen asleep. So whether we wake or sleep, whether we are dead or alive at his return, we will live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. James chapter 4. The world's asleep, folks. That's so obvious. Some of them don't even want to wake up at all. And not much we can do about it. You know, when you're asleep, you open your eyes, the light hurts your eyes, doesn't it? When I get up in the morning, and it's dark now this time of year, and I have to say, light! We're all like this, right? We flip that light on, right, Sue? Love that, don't we? That hurts for a little bit. But once your eyes are open, it's cool, right? Sure it is. Not being, I'd rather go back to sleep, but that's not the best thing. Verse 6, James chapter 4, verse 6. He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. In other words, you ain't going to do this alone, folks. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We need God's help. Ephesians chapter 5. We need his help to be observant. We need his help to be spiritually awake. We certainly need his help to get oriented in life. But the decision is ours and the action is ours. But he's right there to back us. In fact, wasn't that in the manifestations this morning? Ephesians 5. God would back us. Backs his word. Ephesians 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love, verse 1. Verse 2, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, but because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light, it should read, not spirit, the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest, clear, evident by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Pay attention to where you put your feet. If you're going to be a circumspect walker, a diligent walker, and that's like with a mountain climber's thought and precision, you got to be observant. If you're climbing the side of a mountain and you don't pay attention to your handhold or foothold, that's what happens. You fall. Same thing is true spiritually. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Mark chapter 13, last place I want to go. With you this morning, as we have looked a little bit at the OODA loop. I guess you could pronounce it OODA. OODA loop, but I think OODA makes more sense. O hyphen O hyphen O. O hyphen O hyphen D hyphen A. OODA. OODA, Miss Sue. Right, Lydia? OODA. Mark 13. Did I tell you that? Mark 13. But you must hurry. Verse 28. Learn the parable of the fig tree. This is similar to what we read earlier in Luke. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, verse 28, you know that summer is near. So, ye in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Remember this 32nd verse, important. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son of Man. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Now, you may say that's what he told the disciples and apostles, but the next verse is undeniable. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Observe your surroundings. Orient yourself biblically. Decide to pray and believe. Act. Go to God. Repeat. Orient your surroundings. Observe your surroundings. Orient yourself biblically. Decide to pray and believe. Act, go to God. Wash and repeat. That's a little bit about the OODA loop.